Good day, and welcome to the CTT third quarter 2017 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francesco Della Cerda, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, you all. Thank you for attending the presentation of the third quarter results of CTT. We don't have good news, as you know. It has been really a tough quarter and getting worse towards the end, which mean that although we have been able to keep total revenues basically stable, as the revenues item, this trend is a mix of decline in mail that has a fixed cost base and increase in the growth levels that have very more variable cost base at the line of the EBITDA, the things went worse than we, clearly worse than we anticipated. In these 9 months, and going to page 5, what we see is that the addressed mail volumes declined by 6.1%, and this is an average of a second quarter of first half, sorry, of +5.6% that we disclosed a few months ago, and the third quarter decline of 7.2%. The second quarter has already been negative, but as the Easter effect from the first to the second, at the time, we were not taking the same conclusions that we can take now. But in fact, what we see is a strong pressure on mail, and so a strong pressure on mail EBITDA, where the costs are not adjustable so fast as in other areas. Two quarters of above normal declines in mail volumes show to us that probably we are seeing a trend of acceleration. And this is the biggest difference from the last time we disclosed and spoke about. Revenues from retail and distribution networks utilization by the growth businesses, which are the bank and Express and Parcels, partially offset the impact of mail volume decline on revenues, but with some incremental costs, and this is not a smooth process. Probably we are here having an additional pressure that we think it's not to stay, but nevertheless concurs to what we see up to now. In the Express and Parcels, we see good growth in parcels volumes in Portugal. We have still the decline in the banking network, which offsets and disguises a little bit the figures from the Express and Parcels business. We in Portugal are not yet, as a market, not ourselves, growing as fast as we see elsewhere in Europe, but we see the e-commerce part of it already in double-digit growth, although being the smallest part of the pie in the total figures, we continue not to see that type of growth, of revenue growth. In Spain, the revenue growth has been very significantly, clearly above the market, and we continue to improve towards breakeven before the end of the year. In the bank, the growth in customer base of Banco CTT was achieved, but of course, we are having so much success in attracting customers and opening accounts above what was planned, that it puts some pressure to have temporary staff helping on that front to keep quality levels not as bad as they would be otherwise. In financial services, just to remind everyone that third quarter last year, we had the effect of the stock progressive fee payment that was done in the old system of remuneration for us. This year, the remuneration system is much more stable without that. And so since the beginning of the year that we were saying that we have a more balanced level of revenues towards the year. But what we can say in this, after the 9 months, so after that impact of 2016, is that even like that, we have a level of revenues from public debt above the one we had last year. So savings and revenues are still above the level of last year. Payments is declining, connected with the trend that we said we saw before, and so the total is going down, but not because of savings and insurance. Going to page 6, this is the numbers that confirm what I said before. And so the stabilization of the revenues, recurring operating costs going up, and we'll go more into that in the next few pages, and the recurring EBITDA being hit because of this growth in costs higher than the stabilization in the revenues. The addressed mail goes down by 6.1%, parcels goes up by 21%, the savings flows also strongly growing, the number of accounts, the amount of deposits of the bank, and so the growth levers are doing its job, although never as fast as we would like, and the decline in mail this period has worsened, and so putting additional pressure on the profitability and, of course, on the fixed cost base, and that's why we are talking about it, and I'll come back to that later on. Going to page 7, going more into detail in the different areas, we can see on the right-hand side, apart from the Altice, mail and other revenues going down by 4.6 million, financial services by 2.7 million, and then the growth in Express and Parcels, 4.9 if we take out the effect of the acquisition of Transporter, a total of about more than 10 if we include the two, and then the bank increase in revenues, which is going a little below what was the initial plan, but the compensation in costs is totally adjusting that, so the impact of the bank in EBITDA level is more or less the same as last year, as we have been planning and saying since the beginning of this year. Going to page 8, again on the right-hand side, we separated the increase in costs in transport and Banco CTT, and then we analyzed the rest. Transporter, by the way, we are integrating it. It's going well. What is happening in the figures is what we anticipated, or even a little better. And as you know, when we bought it, it was a loss-making company. We already laid off an important number of people. The non-recurring costs of it are there. And we are continuing to do the job as we plan, executing exactly the integration plan that we have made, and things are going well. In 2018, we'll have a positive contribution from that front. That's what we expect now. In terms of the bank, I already commented that the impact of in this year compared with last year at the EBITDA level is similar. It can change a little bit from quarter to quarter, but in average is similar. And then going to the rest, so let's call it the traditional businesses. And there you see an increase of 6.6 million euros in the staff costs, and in the notes below we see things that are affecting that. We spoke already in previous quarters about this difference of the positive impact of the telephone subscription fee, because we had a reduction of that cost in 2016. We had a reduction of this cost in 2017, but the 2016 was bigger by 1.4 million euros than the one on 2017. And so although it's a positive evolution in both cases, the positive impact was bigger in 2016, and so in comparative terms, it impacts negatively. We had an update in salaries that we already mentioned in previous quarters too, and we are having increase in temporary staff, which is common in the summertime, but this year is more than last year because of the pressure both from the integration of more parcels to be distributed by the mailman and for the network in terms of the front office linked with the very good growth of the bank, number of customers and number of accounts. And so we see it not as something that is here against which was our plan. Certainly we prefer not to have this, but we see this as a bump in the road where mail volumes are going down, parcels volumes are going up, and the balance of the two in the network is again not a very smooth or totally smooth thing. When you go to, and then you see there the express and parcels with a minus, but what is minus there is plus or a little less than plus in mail, because what we do when we are integrating the distribution network, not only the outsourcers that we are cutting a lot, but also our own staff from the operation side, when we integrate the two, we transfer the people from CTT Express, the subsidiary of Express, to CTT main company, mother company, and when we also did the transformation of our sales capacities to be more effective, and I think the results are proving us right on that front, we also transfer people from the commercial front to CTT. And so what you stop paying salaries in one side and you start paying salaries in the other. In the express, in the external services, you see, apart from transport and bank again, an increase, and that increase is things that are going against us. Part of it is positive, is the increase in costs of tour line because of the increased activity, and that explains 3.5, as you can see in the note. We have an additional increase in expenses in tour line of 1 million, so 4.5 million of those 5.4 are coming from transporters. The rest are fuel costs and electricity that this year are higher, but they are the smaller part of the total. And so what you see here in third-party costs is basically the effect of the increased activity in transporter. Of course, in the end, the costs went up by 5.6% and the revenues were flat. And so the impact was not positive. I said tour line, I think. But, okay. Peter was making to me some sign. Maybe I said transporter, not tour line, but I wanted to say tour line by the increase of the activity. So, as a first conclusion here, more than seeing an increase in costs, that has a lot of explanations, and when you cut the things, the part that is really the mail, in percentage-wise, is a very small thing. The problem is that we cannot have the same cost base in mail. And so more than the increase, the non-decrease is the issue, and again, we'll talk about it later. Then, in page 9, we have the results, the negative results of what I just said. 12.7 million euros of the mail EBITDA this year compared with mail EBITDA in 2016. 2.2 million euros less in the financial services. The other two activities, if you exclude the impact of transporter, slightly positive in express and parcels. Slightly negative, zero minus in the bank, comparing 9 months this year with 9 months last year. Of course, we have to, in terms of the express and parcels, we are growing, and that growth in Portugal is putting a little pressure on margins, and that's why the growth in the, and apart from CEP, we have the banking network, and so as the banking network is again something that is pretty much linked to our fixed cost base, when you lose more revenues that we were anticipating, that go hit the bottom line. And this is the explanation why the Express and Parcels is not growing faster than we show here. And so, going to page 10, I pass to André.
Good morning. Look at page 10. If you look at our cash flow statement, first in the second line, you see that the adjusted cash flow, which excludes the movements from financial services, from accounts and receivables, we see that the cash flow excluding Banco CTT, which is the cash flow from the CTT business excluding the bank activity, was 52 million euros, more or less 7 million euros increase in this quarter, which was low compared with the previous quarters for the reasons, as Francisco already explained, related with our EBITDA generation. Banco CTT cash flow went up very fast, which is related with a very strong increase in clients, the capturing of clients and also deposits related with that. In CapEx payments was a small increase, if you see in the line below, of 5 million euros from the previous quarter. So at the end of the day, our cash position went at the end of the period to 345 million euros, including also the growth of the Banco CTT deposits. If we go to page 11, we can see we see the balance sheet, which is clearly influenced and more influenced by the growth of Banco CTT, which is we can see in the detached what are the figures of Banco CTT contributing for the growth of the balance sheet of CTT. In terms of other current assets, it's 103 million euros. In terms of the other items, it's around 300 and something million euros. So it's the contribution on the asset side of the bank, which also has in the other side, in the liability side, also the contribution, the equivalent contribution. In terms of our cash position or our financial debt position, if we look at on the right side of this chart, we can see that including Banco CTT, we have a cash position at the end of the period of 337 million euros. If we exclude the Banco CTT activity, which, as you know, it's cash that is totally separated from CTT, it's cash that is needed for the support and the growth of the activity of the bank, we have our cash position at 139 million euros. Which, considering the employee benefits or the employee long-term liabilities and the employee tax credit related with that, we have at the end of the period a small increase in our debt position, including these employee benefits of 251 million euros. Our liquidity position, and we changed from the last quarter this figure, and we put now excluding Banco CTT. As you know, bank's liquidity position is measured in a different way. The liquidity position of CTT, considering or excluding Banco CTT, is 180%, which continues to be a very strong liquidity position. Now we are going to see in a more detailed way what Francisco already mentioned of the evolution of each business unit. And starting with the mail, which is the most relevant one and the one where the differences from the previous quarter are more are bigger, and we saw the impact of this. You see that on the left side, we see the evolution of the revenues, which at the end of the day, if we exclude the Altice effect from last year, it only fell 2 million euros or 0.5%, but we need to understand a little bit what is behind these figures. And first point, in terms of contractual mail, which is the bulk mail, we had a decline of more than 8 million euros in the period or in the 9 months of the year, which is the one or it's the big part of the mail that goes in our fixed cost mail network, which is the normal mail. And we had on the opposite side contributing to this more than 8 million euros decline in revenues in the in the bulk and the normal mail. We had in the opposite side the positive contribution of registered mail. Although in this last quarter the registered mail didn't grow, it even felt something. We had a very strong growth in the first quarter, if you recall. So the accumulated number at the end of 9 months of registered mail is still positive and contributing for 3 million euros for the revenues in this period. year-on-year. In terms of other items that contributed positively, but as Francisco mentioned, and even in the mail business, there are these two items, which is the international flows or the international mail, outbound and inbound, and the customs clearance, which is a business that we started to develop from last year because of the strong growth in the international mail and the parcels that come from internationally. These two contributed with around 3 million euros of revenues, but not using only our fixed cost base, but also bringing some cost to provide these services. So it's important to understand our revenue, that a part of these numbers that we see are the performance on the revenues in the mail business, which is positive because it's a stable revenue flow, only a decline of 2 million. The ones that contributed to the growth are ones that bring some extra cost to our cost base in the mail business. And just to end up, because when we see the cost side, we have the same effect. We had in the 9 months of this year an effect of around 2 million euros on the revenue side and on the cost side coming from exchange rate evolution from our international mail, which is around 2 million of more revenues, but also 2 million of more costs. So going to the cost side and taking these comments to try to explain in better the evolution of our cost side, 2 million euros comes from these exchange rate differences, which are also in the revenue, so they match each other. The rest of the cost evolution in the mail business, 2 million euros comes from increase in temporary work, which is the one that is the one more relevant to say, which is related with the more activity that we are having, not only this mail that I refer that is growing, but also in supporting the growth of the other activities that work in the two networks of the mail. We had also an impact of the 1.2 million euros that Francisco mentioned of electricity and fuel, which is, I would say, the only relevant cost that the evolution in this year is negative. Basically, the big part coming from the cost, the price, but also some more utilization of namely fuel. And we had also some adjustment or some last year optimization measures that this year still kicking some benefits, but lower than last year. The most relevant one, it was a long-term benefit that we have for our employees, that year-on-year we are improving the efficiency of that benefit, which last year accounted for a benefit of 1.8 million euros, and this year is accounting only for 0.4 million euros because it's declining the value that we have in our balance sheet, so the ability to continue to improve this benefit is quite lower. So this explains the main evolution in the cost side of the mail, which is partially related with our activity, but also a part related with the development of the other activities, and also a part related with some evolution, as I told you, in these optimization measures, but also in some cost base, namely electricity and fuel. All in all put this together, in the 9 months 2016 to the 9 months 2017, we had a decline on the EBITDA of the mail business of 17.8%. Just looking at the numbers below, if you compare with first half, you see that all the volume evolution went down from the ones we had in the first half of the year. And although we had, and we said that we had the price increase to compensate this, the impact of the price increase, since volumes are going down faster than anticipated, it's slower, and it's not compensating, not doing the price increase in the first quarter, which was the one of the things we had. The price increase would kick in during the following quarters. If we go to Express and Parcels, trying to explain difference between Portugal and Spain, we see in the left side of the chart we have in the 9 months an increase of 9.2% or 8 million euros in the revenue side. Here we have factored in 5.7 million euros of Transporter, which is the acquisition we did that integrates this business unit. We have also an increase of 5.2 million euros of Spain, which is the business is developing quite fast in this period. And we also have the contribution of Portugal, which excluding the transporter is still declining somehow, not from the parcel business, which is growing, but from the other business that continue to lag some decline, namely the banking network, which in the period of 9 months has a decline from the last year of 25%. So all in all, we have a strong growth in the parcel business, but mainly coming from the acquisition of transporter and from Tourline growth in the period, which puts also some pressure in our cost side, but this pressure is the positive one, which is related with the development of the businesses, which also grow in the period, which made that our EBIT, recurring EBITDA went up, almost doubling the one that we had from last year, if we exclude transporter. As you recall, we acquired transporter and we mentioned that was a business that needed some restructuring. It was acquired for a very low value because it was losing money. We started in the first half of the year, at the end of the first half of the year, the restructuring of the operations, namely with a collective firing of the excess staff that we had there, and we expect that from the following year, or 2018, we'll start having a positive contribution, but until the year end, we'll continue to have a negative contribution for the recurring EBITDA, even for the recurring EBITDA of the Express and Parcel business. Just looking at the metrics below it, the 21% volume growth in the period, 18% comes from Portugal, and if we exclude transport and looking at the parcel business, we have an increase of 6.9%, which is a relevant increase, and compared with last year, it shows already a strong growth in this business. In Spain, an increase of around 25%, and Mozambique, it's just it's not relevant, the figure. Last, financial services. Financial services. I would just comment regarding this is, as Francisco already mentioned, in saving and insurance, we just catch up, and one of the strong comparison effects that we had in this quarter was that we were comparing with last year where the stock fees were would kick in this quarter last year, so the comparison with this year would be always negative. But as you recall, all along this year of 2017, we have been above last year because we were receiving more permanent fees, compensating what we would receive as stock fees. So in this quarter, the evolution of the saving in insurance would be negative, but as we see at the end, the negative effect in this quarter still below the positive that we had accumulated, so it shows that the change to a constant fee enables to have a more constant flow of income in this business and not affecting the overall numbers, and also contributing from, as you see below, the savings placement went 10% up from last year, so this also is contributing for a better performance. In the payments business, we had a decline, as you see, of 1.7 million euros, which is around 10%, which is the one that is putting the pressure on the revenues in the financial services business, which is also contributing for the lower recurring operating costs, which if we have less payment business, since a big part of it is provided by agents, we pay less to our agents. Also related with the financial services and the evolution of the cost side. We also have some efficiency gains with the integration or with working together with the Banco CTT in some, namely security, which enables to have in both sides less costs with this part of the operation. All in all, we keep at the end of the period an EBITDA margin of 50%, which is our more or less target, which is coming from, as I said, an increase in saving in insurance and a decline in payments, which saving in insurance having a better margin will contribute positively for the margin in the EBITDA margin in the period. Regarding Banco CTT, we have a strong evolution in the period As we said in the past, one of the most relevant KPIs that we follow is the current account acquisition. We said it in the press release. We already have more than 200,000 accounts by this date. But at the end of the 9 months, we had 190,000 accounts, which represented more 240,000 customers, which is a very strong increase in the quarter. As you see, it's 43,000 more new current accounts, which shows a very strong acceptance of the bank by the population and a strong growth in the client stock portfolio. In terms of deposits, at the end of the period, we have 540 million euros of deposits. We saw, when we saw the cash flow position, a very strong growth in the deposits of Banco CTT, contributing for the cash flow or for the cash position of CTT consolidated. And in terms of consumer credit, we reached the amount of almost 33 million euros of consumer credit. Just to recall that consumer credit is not accounted in our balance sheet. It's the business that contributes, or it's for the revenues of the bank. It comes as a commission in our partnership with BNP Paribas, which takes the credit risk and takes the credit in their balance sheet. So, looking at the left side in terms of figures, we see that the net interest income went to 2.1 million euros and commissions income to 3.1 million euros. In terms of commission incomes, the biggest one is this part. It's the one related with consumer credit in our partnership with BNP Paribas, and the other part comes from transactionality and also from the start of selling of insurance in the network of Banco CTT. In terms of evolution of recurring operating costs, it's quite related with the evolution of the revenue. As we said, as the guidance for the year, we expected that at the end of the year, Banco CTT would have more or less, in terms of EBITDA or recurring EBITDA, the same performance as last year, with revenues going up and also costs going up at the same level, starting to build up the infrastructure needed to provide the banking services. Below, you see the several figures of the bank. I would just highlight, which is the one that is highlighted in clear gray, the evolution of the mortgage. As you recall, we started selling mortgage in the beginning of the year, but for the general market, it was just in May, by the end of May. So the numbers of the end of June was just 5 million euros of mortgage placed. By the end of September, we have already 29.2 million euros of mortgage placed, which is not yet contributing a lot for the revenues in the net interest income because it was the production in the period, but will start contributing as the time goes by for the evolution of this revenue flow of the bank. I would just end up, and before passing to Francisco, just commenting that at the end of September, the equity and the CET1 ratio is at 35%, which is a very strong and solid ratio for the bank. Francisco, can you?
Thank you, Andrea. So in slide 18, given the 9 month performance, we consider that we need to revise the guidance for the full year. The main driver for that was the worse than expected addressed mail volumes decline, and that will have an impact. As you would remember, in March, when we announced the guidance for the full year, we said that our assumption was addressed mail volume decline of 4 to 5%. Having these figures up to now, we consider that it's not possible to go back to that. After June, with a year-to-date 5.6, going back to closer to 5 was not out of reach. Now, with a quarter to go only, and with the level we are year-to-date, it's totally impossible to go back to those levels, and that is the basic difference. When you think of what 45 compared with 6 something, it impacts our revenue line, it's a strong revenue, and that is the reason for that. Because we have the strong growth in Express and Parcels and Bank, that is putting some pressure, as we mentioned, on the cost base, but the type of impact is not the same, and it's something where the solution will probably unfold in a different way. But the volumes of mail, it's very much out of our reach, although we start to have some signs that the competitors are facing problems. Nevertheless, the substitution, the e-substitution is there and is happening, and if anything, is speeding up a little bit. In terms of Spain, which is an important component of our guidance, Spain performance continues to improve towards break-even before the end of the year. I'm not saying that is easy, never said, but we are committed to this still with what we know today. And we were for some time already preparing a plan that could impact in terms of a sizable cost restructuring. We have been doing cost efficiency measures since 5 years ago, since we took responsibility for the company. And if you can remember or go to the data, we had a huge reduction in the negotiation of IT contracts 3 years ago. We have a huge savings in the healthcare plan for our employees, and we had several different savings in the operations, in the network, in the in central areas, in the different things. But what we already anticipated in the preparation for what we need to do in the near future and in the next year was that another size and another speed was required for what we are facing in terms of the revenue line in mail. We started to prepare it, and we have a plan to announce it at the time of after being everything ready. With the bad news on the revenue that we are announcing, or we announced 2 days ago, we decided to sign, to tell the market that we are preparing that. But we cannot be non-rigorous in the type of information we give. And as you know, this is the type of things that affects regulatory things, affects people, affects other supplies. We cannot just give rough ideas. We have to be very specific and very rigorous in what we deliver. Our commitment is to talk to the market before year end on these fronts. And with all this, the guidance update is that we expect to achieve recurring EBITDA around 20% below the initial full year guidance of flat ex Altice. And we also decided to decline the dividend, and so we intend to propose a full year dividend of 0.38, which is, again, more or less 20% decline from the previous dividend. And the rationale to this is we have been saying that the bank and run the initial steps of the bank and bank negative impact before break-even, we thought didn't need to affect the dividend. And we have distributable reserves to overcome that. And that's what we did when we paid in May the dividend. But if the other businesses turn to worse than we anticipated, then we have to consider what to do. And that's exactly why we considered and took the decision we announced here in this page. And now, as always, we open to comments and questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Christopher Combe from JP Morgan.
Good morning, guys. Just two questions for me. First of all, can you elaborate a bit upon the postal volume trend and what specifically you've seen from which sectors, the government included, in terms of decline, and how convinced you are after only two quarters of very weak performance that, in fact, we could be seeing a much starker rate of decline, perhaps moving towards mid-single digits more consistently. Now, my second question, you explained a bit your rationale at arriving at the reduced 38-cent dividend level. Should we assume that that's a level you believe to be sustainable in light of the type of restructuring that you'll be looking at? Thank you.
Chris, in terms of the first one, we don't intend to do guidance for the full year 2018 at this stage. But we can comment a little more on what has happened during the past 9 months. And what has happened in the past 9 months is that the big decline is in the core transactional mail. Registered mail had a positive impact, contrary to 2016, where you remember that was a huge issue. Although that positive impact was stronger in the first quarter than in the more recent quarters, and we are seeing an important growth in what we call international mail, and international mail is pretty much related both in inbound and outbound to e-commerce type of things, small things. Inbound coming basically from Asia, China number one, but not only. But also some Portuguese companies are using this this product to sell and to send things that they sell to different parts of the world. And so here we are seeing a growth, and the growth that is based in what we anticipate is a trend. But the basic transactional mail, the bills, and the statements of the banks, telcos, utilities is where we are getting hit. And of course, there is also where our competitors in the previous years tried to attack us more. And so we already had the issue of the price that we commented in the past. We have signs that one of the competitors just gave up and the other is in dire straits. But we cannot say much more about this, and in fact we don't know. What we feel is that the pressure was bigger from competitors in past. I'm not saying that it will not turn to the worse, because more and more I'm cautious about what I say on this front. But nevertheless, that is where we see. In terms of the government, to go to that issue, the single digital address is not yet in place. It will be probably during 2018, but we don't have a date. There are some preparatory works that take time and didn't even start. The government, as we have commented in the past, says that will be voluntarily, and that is not saying only, is in the law, that will be voluntarily, and they say that they will not push too hard for it. So, in the future, some trend of decline will come also from that, but the others might ease up. The result of all this, it's not the time to be commenting on that. We also see what is called the universal services packages also growing, and that is, again, linked to e-commerce. It's small figures. We are talking about a total of 900,000 euros in the 9 months, but it's a growth of 19%. So it's the type of things that are all encapsulated into the postal volume decline. The biggest chunk of the business, which is basic transactional mail, and on that
from telcos, utilities and banks is the one that is getting hit more. The in terms of the dividend, I don't think we should elaborate more on that. We didn't announce anything on the policy, and we just announced what we intend to do with the dividend, the next dividend, and what exactly linked to the plan, whatever, let's wait for the future.
Okay, and just one follow-up. With respect to the plans, can you give us a bit more color as to when we should expect that color? Would it be sometime before year-end?
Yes, our commitment is up to year-end, and we know that Christmas is not a good day to do those type of announcements, but up to year-end for sure.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Bruno Silva from CaixaBank BPI.
Good morning, everyone. And I have three questions, if I may. The first one is related with some of your statements today, and they are also clear in the press release regarding the, I wouldn't say if we should call it one-off costs or costs related with the volume growth, namely in parcels. You said that they are sort of temporary. I just wanted, on one hand, to have a sense of the total size of these costs. And why do you really believe that they are temporary? As to me, it seems like the trends that justify this increase will be there for next year for sure, the increase in parcels and decline in regular mail, whereas the integration of the network in distribution of the integration of parcels and mail distribution is mostly done. So why should costs go away? Or alternatively, if this was caused by a disruption in the process that will be sorted soon. So if you could please elaborate on that, I would appreciate. The second question is regarding also costs, but the sizable cost restructuring that you are going to announce before year end. Just wanted to understand if this plan that is going to be presented is something that you started to consider during this year or a long time ago, and whether or not ANACOM can be a hurdle in this process. I understand that the sizable cost reduction would have to pass through a complete redefinition of your network capillarity, and I assume that in the eve of a new regulatory period, that had to be discussed a long time ago, I guess, or at least since the beginning of the year. So again, if you could elaborate on this, I would appreciate. The third question, if I may, is on savings products from the state. We are seeing higher competition in the distribution of these products. They have a sizable impact at the EBITDA of the group. I just wanted to understand if, based on the recent information, if you could share with us what you believe is a reasonable level of top line from these products for the next couple of years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruno. So in terms of costs, what we are talking here is about temporary works. And so the word temporary comes from temporary works. But temporary contracts with people. But if we thought it would be there in a stable base, we would be hiring people and not just hiring in temporary contracts. We believe that the decline in mail volumes will continue. And so the issue is, in terms of burden in the mailman and all our logistics system, as the burden of the mail is going down and the burden of the parcels is going up, how the two balance one against the other, sometimes it's harsher, sometimes it's easier. And so I cannot tell you in terms of timing, but what I can tell you is that this is the logic behind it, And part of the things we are working on to go deeper is exactly to think our distribution capacities to move it as all postal operators are doing, and we also started a few years ago, moving from something that first only distributed letters, then distributed letters and some parcels, more and more we'll distribute parcels and letters, and then we'll eventually in 10 years or more probably be more parcels than letters, but that is too long in the future. So the temporary, I cannot tell you a specific date, a specific figure, but has to do with this logic. In terms of the regulatory, what we have, of course, the regulatory conditions, and those are what it are. We whatever we do, we'll do within those regulatory constraints, but they give us some room to work both in both the distribution network and the retail outlets. And even also, and that has nothing to do with regulatory, in our head office or SG&A, or how we want to call it. And of course, the thing that especially the ones that know well Portugal knows is that we have also restrictions from the labor environment and these type of things. We are. We'll comment and elaborate more on that later on, because these things cannot be too much elaborated in advance. We believe that we can cope with the things, and the regulation will not be a very strong restriction on that front. But of course, it's something that is part of the total, and that's exactly why we are taking some time to be sure that we have a properly defined and all angles balanced program. We started thinking this some time ago. Some of the things, as I said, we have been doing it for several years. What we are talking here is to rearrange the way we do, and probably do a more fundamental thing in some of in the way we operate in the distribution, because of what I just mentioned to you, and maybe let's call it re-engineering or something. Also, we are conscious that the speed and size has to be adjusted to the speed and size of the mail volume decline. In terms of competition on the saving products, of course, you are commenting the possibility of the citizen shops to also place certificates that they did not up to now. As you also know, it's a recent thing. It was decided and announced last week. So, of course, we don't have any effect, but it was not expected. So we can only speculate on the future. And on the future, up to now, we have been proving to ourselves and to everyone that our sales capacities are very strong, and time over time we have been able to keep and increase the volumes we were placing, benefiting from the market, benefiting from the interest rate, benefiting from the competitive alternatives, but also benefiting from our capacities in terms of placing, from the usage that the population has to go to us to do that. And so when you open other channels, you always open something that might grow. But nevertheless, not always that is something that makes the business go down. You have the example when the OETV was launched, that the banks start placing OETVs, but our volumes did not decline because of that. Here is the same product to the same type of population. I don't want to be too optimistic, but it's too soon to have a clear view on this. I trust our sales capacities, but let's see what the future brings us. In terms of the adjustment of the interest rate that was communicated at the same time, it's something that is normal from time to time. When the interest rates are much above market, the government declines the interest rates. And probably when the trend of interest rates change some years, sometime in the future, hopefully the government will do the reverse move. And so, of course, it always creates a situation where people want to subscribe before because after it will be lower and a little run to, for that. This time they only gave 1.5 day advance notice, so when we launch, when we announce the last quarter results, you will not see the sort of impact that you saw in early 2015, but of course it always has an impact, increasing before the day, declining in the first few, in the first days after the date.
Francisco, if I may, a very quick follow-up regarding the costs. Considering the time to put everything together, I mean the discussions with the regulator, closing the plan, as well as the re-engineering of mailman activities, it's something not to have a relevant impact in 2018, I guess. So we should look at what happened this year as a good idea of what is going to happen next year. Is that correct?
I'm not confirming, but I ask you to wait a little more for when we announce the plan.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll now take the next question from Mattia Gergole from Goldman Sachs.
Yes, hello, good morning. Two questions from my side. The first one is on competition in mail. I mean, you mentioned the mail volume declines. How much of that do you think is due to volume loss to competition? And at what rate do you think is the overall market declining? That would be my first question. And secondly, just a little bit more about the regulation, the regulator. So some of the cost increases, perhaps you could say, that are, say, non-controllable, like the fuel costs. I mean, there is a review coming up. I mean, could you maybe give us a bit of, say, color on whether you think you have some room, you know, for maneuver with the regulator to effectively ask for higher pricing or better conditions or not? I mean, and also say what amount of the revenues actually will be or are subject at the moment to regulation. Just to give us a bit of color, whether or not can you basically get back some of the lost profitability through the regulatory review? Would you think that is something realistic or not really? Thank you.
As you know, our logic for the mail business is accepting that the volumes are going down and try to protect the value by using the price lever and by tackling the costs. In terms of the price lever, we have a regulated non-bulk price, and we have rules that are well known, and they will change, and we don't know yet where to. But with the rules that we existed, we can grow the type of growth that we have been doing in the last 2-3 years. On the bulk, the issue is much more the competition and the big push from all large customers to decrease the price we charge. We have been able not to decrease, but we have not been able to grow as we did up to 2 years ago. And with that, and by what the competition does officially, what we know is just by the statistics of the regulator, and they are usually 3 months published 3 months after the fact. The last that we saw, the competitors were not growing their share, and they were two, and there was some swap. Because the one that now is out was already declining and the other was growing a little bit. And this is part of the logic of the large customers that prefer to keep a part of the business at least with those to put pressure on us. And that is basically the competitive dynamics there. So as I cannot be sure what will happen to the competitors, I cannot be sure what to do, what we can do in the future, and so I cannot comment too much on that. But of course we are always monitoring the situation and trying to adjust the price what we can. And here, as always in a business, is a price volume decision. And our the way we manage it in the last few years was we believe that we should not give too much in price, even if it declined a little bit more in volume. About your first question, I would say that in this quarter, I'm speculating because official figures are not yet out, but in this quarter, the two competitors together either are at the same level or a little below what we saw in the previous quarter, but only when figures are out we'll really know.
Let me just add something regarding the regulatory agenda and regulatory environment. As Francisco mentioned, we have for our ability to move some levers, namely the pricing one, its competition, and the regulatory pricing scheme. Both of them, what we are seeing, and Francisco already mentioned about the competition, is that when we propose some price increases, it's related with the ability of not compensating the full volume decline with cost reductions as we see. So we would expect in the future to be able to continue to use this lever as we use it in the past, because it's quite important. Regarding the part of the bulk mail, which is more, more regulated by the competitive environment, I believe the competitive environment is showing that the ability to have very low cost to provide the service is very difficult because of the infrastructure that is needed to build up. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
We'll now take the next question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions. The first one is, without trying to anticipate on the cost side, but what is your real room, your capacity to reduce number of branches, considering that the regulator has not allowed that until now, and that although your margin has been significantly reduced in the mail, it's still a good margin from European standards. So that would be the first question, whether or not you believe you can lower number of branches. The second one is, although you have blamed or you have put a little bit the burden on the mail volumes, the prices have been okay because of the effect from registered mail. So effectively, what costs were you not expecting that you actually had to incur to justify not only the weaker third quarter, but also your guidance for fourth quarter? Because I think the guidance for fourth quarter implies that costs will continue to be on this mid-single digit growing year on year. And these would be the 2 points. Thank you.
No. I start by the second one. The way we interact with you and the other analysts and investors, as you know, is the previous year and some guidance, and then measuring it to it. But of course, the way we manage the company is based on budget and targets. And so what we are saying is that the surprise was on the revenues, which means that some of the cost issues we knew, most of the cost issues we knew, but we had anticipated a different evolution on the revenues of the mail. Of course, when you just compare with the previous year, this conclusion might not be obvious, but it's the way it happened. We can say that this temporary additional man hours that were not totally absorbed by the growth levers was a bit of a surprise, but that is a piece of the total. In terms of the branches, I would prefer not to give wrong signs, and so please don't take any conclusion too strong of what I will say, but I just want to remind you that our regulatory requirements are for the sum of our own branches and the third parties that we manage. We don't have any obligation on our own branches number.
And just to recall that the countries that have that obligation normally are compensated for that. So that is one of the options of the Portuguese regulatory environment, is that we are, as in some other countries' cases, where the density of the network is not measured by our own branches, is measured by the full network, own and third party ones, and they can move around.
So please don't take the conclusion that we can close our branches and open only third party. We will not do that, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just reminding you because of your question on room of maneuver.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take the next question from Oriana Bastielli from Kairos Partners.
Hi, good morning. Please, if you can provide a recap of your CapEx needs for the business in terms of maintenance and what you still need at the level of Banco CTT, both in terms of CapEx and potential equity injection. Thank you.
Regarding our CapEx needs, overall consolidated terms, as we said, it was between 20 and 30, so I would put 25 million euros a year, of which part of it, I would say around 5 million euros, comes from the bank, Banco CTT, and the capital injections. We are in the process of injecting the cash that we needed. We did the capital injection this year. We do not anticipate to need anyone until the year end, and we'll have another one in next year following the strategy that we already had in our plan.
Can you remind, please, the amount of the injection this year and the potential one for next year?
This year we did 40 million euros,
mm-hmm.
And next year will be more or less 40 million euros.
Thank you.
Was 80 million euros that was left in?
Thank you.
That will conclude today's question and answer session. I would like to hand the call back over to Mr. De La Cerda for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you all for your continued interest. Of course, all of us would prefer to have better news. What we can say is that we are committed to develop the strategy, and the strategy is protecting the most we can the value of the mail business, but knowing that the volumes only can go down. And keep growing the growth levers, which the two we are doing and very much committed are the bank and the express and parcels, and that's what we are doing in all fronts and the most we can. Thank you again, and bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. That-